Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
I want to thank you, Brother Dearman, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in, Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. I am the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ there in Woodbury, and it would thrill me, yeah, I can't even put in words, if you would come out and worship with us any Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night when your schedule permits for you to be our way. We're going to finish up a lesson that we began last week, or topic, I should say, studying a question, what's in a name? We began looking at how important names are in our lives. We've looked at Adam, how he is the father of all living, and we also subsequently looked at Eve, she is the mother of all living. And we began last week studying a man we find at the latter end, or at the latter half of Acts chapter 18, and his name is Apollos. Apollos. And we learn, just as a quick recap here, Acts chapter 18, verse 24, he is a Jew named Apollos, but Apollos is a Grecian name. We see that he was born in Alexandria. That's a very important, prominent city. We see he's an eloquent man, a well-respected man, a well-learned man. He's mighty in the Scriptures. He comes to Ephesus. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit. In other words, he was not a dry professor by any means. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. So he knew what he was talking about. He was mighty in the Scripture, the kind of professor or the kind of preacher, I should say, that all the younger preachers would have tried to emulate, try to imitate, get up there and maybe mimic his speech pattern or mimic the way he would stand or walk or whatever the case may be. He was certainly a man that was mighty in the Scriptures. But we need to note that there is a problem about Apollos. Join me now in Acts chapter 18 and verse 25. And by the way, I'll be reading from the King James translation here of God's Holy Scriptures. That's just my study by the translation I used to study, translation I used to preach from. It's my favorite. Acts chapter 18, verse 25. What is the problem of Apollos? Well, the Bible tells us the very last end. He spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, yet he only knew the baptism of John. Now, by the time we reached Acts chapter 18, we are a good while removed from the day of Pentecost, when the first gospel sermon is preached by Peter, and the rest of the apostles stand up there preaching as well. He only knew the baptism of John the Baptist. Well, what did John the Baptist preach? I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. John the Baptist came in those days preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was the job of John the Baptist to pave the way for Christians, to make the way ready, to make the way right, to let people know about Christ. But we see that Apollos didn't know about the whole story. And so there's a great husband and wife team we learn of, Aquila and Priscilla. And so we see that he had to be taught. Look at verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They weren't content with looking at him saying, "Oh, look, he's just doing such a great job." Now, he doesn't get the whole story. He doesn't know it all, but boy, he's doing a good job telling the part that he knows. No, friends, they take him and they take him in love, even though he's an educated man. Even though he has a good name, he's well respected. He did not know everything he needed to know, and so he had to be taught. And so a great attitude that we can see from Aquila and Priscilla is the willingness to teach someone that needs to be taught. But friends, there's also a great attitude that we can learn from that of Apollos himself, is that he was willing to be taught. He was glad. He was willing to do. He was willing to be taught the things that he needed to be taught. And so that is a great thing that we need to sometimes, I think sometimes we overlook when we study Apollos. Friends, today, regardless of your name, your pedigree, your education, you must be taught the will and the word of God in order to be pleasing to God. You can't just know some, three-fourths apart. Friends, you must know the whole in order to be pleasing unto God. So that's the lesson when we study the question, what's in a name, and we look at Apollos. That's the lesson that we learn from that. But time has allowed us and afforded us the opportunity to study our third name. When we answer the question, what's in a name, I want us to look at the most important name that there is in the world, and that is of a Christian. We looked at Adam and Apollos, and now we look at Christian friends, the most important name that one can ever have in the world is Christian. Now, there are many so-called family dynasties. We see these often politically related. The Bushes, the Kennedys, the Clintons, etc., etc. You see great, manufacturing company names like S.C. Johnson, Johnson & Johnson. Friends, that's okay. But there's only one person that died for you. Acts 20, verse 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves to the whole flock of which the Holy Ghost made you overseers." Paul's talking to the elders of Ephesus. "And to feed the church of God," watch this, "which Christ hath purchased with his own blood." Friends, there may be many names that you might want to ascribe. Say, well, maybe I lean thinking with this person, or maybe I work with this person, so I'm going to call myself of his or her last name. But friends, the only most important name is the one that died for you. His name is Jesus the Christ. Now what I want us to do is, if you're with me here in the book of Acts, maybe you want to take note of this, mark this down, refer to it later. There are three biblical examples of the word Christian that appear in Scripture. The word Christian only appears three times in Scripture. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you all three. I'm going to have to take a quick break, tell you about the Wood Church of Christ, where I'm privileged to be the pulpit minister. We'd love to have you come out and visit with us. Then on the other side of this very short, quick break, we'll go back and we'll actually study these passages. How's that sound? So the first one is Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. You can go ahead and be turning there now. Acts 11 and verse 26. Acts 26 and verse 28. Acts 26, 28. And lastly, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. 1 Peter 4, 16. Those are your three times the word Christian appears in the New Testament. We will study those right here on the other side of this break. Stay with us. More Reading the Word is on the way.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Welcome back to Reading the Word. Thank you so much for sticking around on the other side of that break. We're studying the question, what's in a name? We're looking at the most important name that ever could be had out there in the world, and that is of Christian. We discussed there's three biblical examples. I gave the passages of Scripture to you on the previous side of the break. Now we're going to actually study those. And our first one comes to us in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." Watch this. "And the disciples were first called Christians there at Antioch." Did you catch that? The first time anybody ever wore the name of Christian was there in the church of Antioch, the church of Christ there that met in Antioch. So that's why you see a lot of Antioch church buildings still today. We see the first time they wore the name of Christ there was at Antioch. Well, let's keep our study going of the times the word Christian actually appears in the New Testament. And our next occurrence is found in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Acts 26 and 28. The Bible says, "For the king knoweth..." verse 28. Sorry. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Paul is talking to King Agrippa. He has expounded the gospel unto him. He says in verse 27, "Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" He's just shown how the prophets talked about Christ. He says, "I know that you know what the Bible says." He says, "I know that you believe the prophets." And what does Agrippa say? He says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, Paul, will I give in and obey the gospel. Almost." Friends, save one more passage there, or one more mention of Agrippa. He's not mentioned again in the Bible, and so we don't have a record of if he ever actually obeyed the gospel or not. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Friends, I would hate to be on the day of judgment. And as our judgment is being meted out, and maybe you get to a picture in your mind, you're pleading your case, and God says, "Why didn't you obey my will?" And you said, "I almost did. Boy, I came off close. I said later I would. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I said I'd do it later. but as the great Ernest Tubb once sang, but tomorrow never comes. Friends, let's look at our final time that the word Christian appears within the New Testament, and that's found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, the Bible says, "Yet if a man suffer as a Christian," watch it, "if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." If a man suffer as a Christian. If, that tells me it's going to happen. If, when it happens, friends, we need not be ashamed. Instead, we use it as a way to glorify God. Friends, we were never promised a rose garden here on this earth. We never were. But we can still be faithful to God. We can still do what God has commanded for us to do. And whether we suffer persecution or whether we don't suffer persecution, that is okay. We can still live faithful to Him each and every day of the year. Now, friends, there's a problem, and it's a pandemic going around in the world, if I can say it so, and it's been that way for years. People are going by all sorts of names that are not authorized to be called in Scripture. Friends, and I say this in love, Buddha never died for anybody. Joseph Smith never died for anybody upon the cross. Alexander Campbell never died for anybody upon the cross. John Wesley, he never died for anybody upon the cross. The Pope never died for anybody upon the cross. Friends, etc., etc., etc. I don't care. Confucius, I don't care what name you put in there. If you don't put the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in that blank, nobody died for their sins. Only Jesus the Christ. Only Jesus Christ died for sins. And since He's the only one that died for our sins, friends, why in the world would you wear any other name? Why would you do it? Why would you say, "Well, I'm a this or I'm a that"? That's not authorized in Scripture. Friends, names are so important. And we're known by our names. People call us by our names. One of the first things we learn, what is our name? One of the first things little kids learn is what's their name. And then they go up to everybody and say, "Hi, I'm Justin. Hi, I'm Justin. Hi." That's what they do. Names are important, friends. John 13:35, Jesus Christ says, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." People will know we're Christians. How? If we have love for one another. Friends, what name are you wearing? That's a question I ask myself every day, and that's a question you should ask yourself every day as well. What name are you wearing? Are you wearing the name of some man who wrote some book but is not the Son of God? I would encourage you to not wear that name. Maybe you're like Apollos, and maybe you've had a good background, maybe you're well-known, well-respected, but if you haven't obeyed the whole gospel, if you don't know the whole story, friends, you need to be taught. You may be the world's best expert in the Old Testament, but if you don't know anything in the New Testament, you don't know what God's Word says. Be like Apollos. Be willing to be taught. Maybe you know somebody like that. Be the Aquila and Priscilla that's willing to instruct him or instruct her, whatever the case may be, into learning more about what God's Word has said. Friends, what's in a name? Are you a Christian? How do you become a Christian? Well, it's very easy. Jesus Christ says you must believe that He is the Son of God, John 8:24, also Mark 16:15-16. He says you must repent of your sins. That's a change in thought that results in a change in action, Luke 13:3, also verse 5. He says you must confess your sins, Matthew 10:32-33. If you confess Him, He will confess you before God the Father in heaven. If you deny Him, He will deny you before God the Father in heaven. And then upon that confession, you are baptized into Christ. Mark 16:16, Matthew 28:18-20, Acts 2:28, Acts 22:16, Romans 6:3-4, Galatians 3:27, and then finally we remain faithful until the very end. That's how we wear the name of Christian. Are you wearing the name of Christ? If you're not, I encourage you to contact us. Let us know. We would love to sit down and study God's Word with you more. You can find the Wood Church of Christ there on Facebook, or you can contact me directly through my website, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. I have enjoyed this study. Thank you for being a part of it. I hope you can join us next week as we will continue studying God's Word in this exact same format and this same time slot. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.